From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Tuesday, March 15th, 2016, we've got a fantastic show in store for all of you guys out there. Whether you be in your car, at work, or max taxing and relaxing at home, we are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. On today's show, of course, we continue the March Madness talk. We will give you guys a first-round bracket breakdown. I thought about going through the entire bracket, you know, region by region, but that would take forever, okay? We'll just hit you with the first round. You'll get our thoughts, predictions. Also, we'll throw out a few upsets here and there. Who could go out in the first round? Will there be a number one finally to go out in the first round ever in NCAA tournament history? We'll talk about that, and we will also embrace debate on today's show with the hoopla surrounded around March Madness. You're probably filling out a bracket as we speak. I'm sure many of you are indulging in many office pools or friendly competition amongst your friends. But I want to pose this question. Is the NCAA tourney overhyped? Is it overrated? We'll dive into that. You don't want to miss that. I will also invite for the first time to our airwaves, Adam Biggers, assistant managing editor and writer for today's U Sports, covering, of course, men's, MSU men's college basketball and Michigan men's college basketball, as well as Michigan football and MSU football. So you don't want to miss that. And also on the back end of the show, it's Tuesday. We'll hit you with Tickle Tuesday and also talk about the Brandon Dawson arrest. That and more. But hey, here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, we start with a roundup from last night's boys high school hoop regional action. Last night, the first night for high school boys basketball regionals, and some local teams are moving on. In Class A, Region 1, East Lansing defeated Battle Creek Central 52 to 34. Lansing Everett topped Kalamazoo Central 56-49. East Lansing and Everett will now face each other tomorrow night at 7 p.m. in the regional final in Mason. That is going to be one hot ticket. Oh, boy. In Class B, Region 11, the Williamson Hornets defeated the defending champion Wyoming Goodwin Heights 57-55 in overtime to move on to the regional final versus Stockbridge. And that will take place tomorrow night in Eden Rapids at 7 p.m. And congratulations to the Hornets. Of course, they are playing with a lot of emotion, seeing as though their coach, Jason Bauer, is still recovering as two tumors were discovered and they have been removed. I am told that he is recovering nicely. So congratulations to the Hornets. They are certainly playing for their head coach. In Class C, Region 22, Ithaca beat Millington 79-60. And we'll move on to the regional final tomorrow against Reese. That game will be at 7 p.m. in Ithaca. And last but not least, in Class D, Region 27, Lansing Christian defeated Novi Franklin Road Christian 71-55. And will now face in the regionals final against Waterford Our Lady. That takes place tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at Lansing Christian. And get this, Kersey Godrizik of Benton Harbor has been named this year's Miss Basketball. Now, the 5'10 guard became the first girls basketball player to average 40 points a game. I kid you not, 40 points a game. Also, broke a school record in the district opener against Buchanan, scoring 72 points, a high school record. Godrizik will continue her basketball career next season with the Michigan Wolverines, creating a rivalry with her older sister, Calabria, who, of course, was a finalist in last year's Miss Basketball voting and is currently a freshman for the Michigan State women's basketball team. And speaking of the MSU women's basketball team, the NCAA women's basketball bracket was revealed last night on Selection Monday, and the Michigan State Spartans received a 4 seed in the Bridgeport region and will face 13-seeded Belmont Friday at noon in first-round action. Now, get this. The Breslin Center was slated to host the first and second rounds of the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. However, a previous contract signed with the Michigan High School Athletic Association to host the High School Boys and Girls Basketball Tourney blocked that effort. Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis issued this statement to the media last night. Quote, "It's disappointing that our women's basketball team will be unable to host the first and second rounds of the 2016 NCAA tournament when MSU signed the agreement with the Michigan High School Athletic Association to host the boys and girls basketball tournaments in February of 2011. The NCAA tournament format did not provide opportunities for the top 16 seeds to host the opening rounds." Oh, that's unfortunate. All right, during his weekly press conference yesterday, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Tom Izzo, said that Kenny Goins will be out for this weekend in St. Louis. Goins injured his knee during the Spartans matchup with Indiana on February 14th and hasn't played since. Izzo and the Spartans are hopeful that Goins can return for a Sweet 16 appearance in Chicago, Chi-Town, if the Spartans can make it there. Now, Goins injured the knee February 14th against Indiana and has not played since. The original prognosis was for him to be out just, 2 to 4 weeks. But Izzo said Goins has healed slower than expected. If he does return at some point, Izzo said it will likely only be for spot duty. All right, according to ESPN.com, Pittsburgh Steelers cornerback Antoine Drake is making a free agent visit with the Detroit Lions on Wednesday. At 5'9" and 198 pounds, Drake started all 16 games with the Pittsburgh Steelers last year and has already visited with the Tennessee Titans and will visit with the New England Patriots on today. Yeah, that will take place today. The Detroit Pistons, they were blown out against the Washington Wizards last night, 124-81. Which marks their worst loss of the season. The Wizards open a 30-7 run and never look back. And the Detroit Red Wings, they are 34-24-11. They will face off tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers in Philly. The Flyers are just 3 points behind the Wings for the final wild card spot, as the Wings have struggled in their past 10 games, going just 2-6-2. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-9527. Here we go.
Let me ask you a question. You played football at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who was your coach then?
Jerry Faust.
For all 4 years?
Yes, all four of my years, yeah.
Now, he was a very spiritual man, from what I remember, correct?
Yes, yeah. Oh, yes,
did
he
you live? Did you live in a dormitory for 4 years?
I lived in a dorm all 4 years.
Okay, how many times did Jerry visit you at your dorm room?
Jerry never visited me once in my dorm room.
Okay, I've now pulled 40 different athletes from different sports, and not one time did a head coach go to a dorm room. And I, same way with Jack Lehman and my teammates Julius Irving and Al Skinner. That being said, I did visit Menotti Hall for a number of reasons. I named it after my brother-in-law, who I lost to 9/11, and we had filmed there right before games. And then also we would have a breakfast with the recruit. We'd come in, we'd have breakfast with his family sometimes in Menotti Hall. So I would say before games and a couple times a month I'd have breakfast. And during those times, I saw nothing unusual. Matter of fact, I didn't even see any female. Females are allowed in there. Girlfriends are allowed to visit. Sisters are allowed to visit. I never saw anything. So the chances of a coach seeing anything, if something was going on 4 or 5 times a year, would be minimal.
In his fight to come of age, he would act to know the age, to be recognized as one and not a mess. Mama used to say, take your time. Take it in your stride. Mama used to say, live your life.
Oh, man, that is one of the most underrated tracks of all time. Shout out to Junior. Mama used to say. Welcome to today's Current Sports. I'm just in a great mood. It's March, folks. It's March. Can you feel the madness in the air? Oh, welcome to another great edition of Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. Now, of course, mixed in with that hot jam, Junior's mama used to say, was, of course, Rick Pitino, head coach of the Louisville men's basketball team. I'm sure that growing up, little Pitino was told by his mama that you need to take some responsibility. Learn to take responsibility. And that's not what has happened here when it comes to the Louisville men's basketball program. I tell you what, folks. And I was watching this morning as Pitino, he was a guest on Mike and Mike. That's what you just heard. Mike Golic of ESPN's Mike and Mike radio show this morning. He interviewed Rick Pitino, I believe it was like via Skype. It looked like Pitino was sitting in his living room. And Pitino was also a guest on ESPN SportsCenter. I caught that hit as well. And during one point of the interview, Pitino said, yeah, I just got a text from Tom Izzo. And he says, you know, it just doesn't feel the same with you guys not in the tournament. You know, Pitino and Izzo, pretty good friends. But, you know, this whole situation concerning the Louisville men's basketball program, I mean, we've talked about it extensively here on the show when the news broke about this whole situation. And, you know, you heard a snippet of what, you know, Pitino had to say on Mike and Mike. You know, and he went on to say, quote, the problem we had is we did have people in place. And the one person we did have in place whose sole responsibility was to make sure they do the right things. And unfortunately, that was Andre McGee. That was the problem there. End quote. Andre McGee is the graduate assistant who allegedly set up parties with strippers in the dorm rooms that house the Louisville men's basketball team and is alleged to have handed stacks of dollar bills to the players and recruits while also paying for the escorts to have sex with the players and recruits. Pitino has maintained that he was unaware that the parties were taking place. Pitino. Now, I will say this. As the head coach of any Division I athletic program, I really believe that it's quite impossible to keep a running tab of what your players are doing or what your recruits are doing 24/7, all the time. It's really impossible. I mean, you're one man. I get that. But at the same time, you are responsible. You are the head coach of that program. You are the face of that program. Whatever happens within that program, you are directly responsible for because you are the man in charge. Just for instance, okay, here at WKR, if I was to say something stupid here on the air or popped off at the mouth and had some profanity-laced speech here on the air, that totally goes against what we stand for here at our station. You know who really gets a bad rap? Not only me, but my bosses do. Okay? Because they are directly responsible for what takes place here on the air. Simple as that. So if you are the head coach of a program and something that goes against the NCAA rules happens under your watch, you are responsible. And the problem that I have with this whole thing is that, okay, Pitino, you may not have known that this was taking place when it comes to potential recruits who step foot on your campus. But don't you have some responsibility in this thing? Why don't you just own up and say, okay, but you know what? I may not have known, but I should have known. Or I did a terrible job in hiring Mr. Andre McGee, of hiring him to be in charge of those recruits. So I take responsibility when it comes to that. Pitino is basically just saying, hey, I didn't know nothing, therefore I'm not guilty. And that's just the wrong way to handle the situation. Simple as that. In my opinion, it makes Pitino look worse in the whole thing. If he owns up and says, you know what, it happened, it may have happened, I didn't know, but I should know, I'm responsible for that, then okay, I would feel him on that. But I'm not catching his drift that, okay, I don't have any responsibility in this whole thing. Come on, dude. Come on, Rick. My gosh. Call in. Phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. As aforementioned, we have Adam Biggers coming on the show. his first time on our airwaves. I got the pleasure. I've run into Adam multiple times at the Michigan State football press conferences, you know, after the games, the Michigan State men's basketball games, and during the weekly press conferences that Izzo holds as well. And, I'd seen him before, but Adam and I, we actually ran into each other down in Indianapolis, Indiana at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and we sat next to each other during during Saturday's competition between Michigan and Maryland, and also the Michigan State game that followed after that, where, of course, Michigan State, they played in the second slate of that game. Who was that? That wasn't Purdue. Isaac, who am I blanking on? Who did Michigan State play on Saturday?
Saturday?
Yeah.
That was Maryland.
Maryland. Okay, so who did Michigan play?
They lost to Purdue. They went out against Purdue.
Okay, I'm getting my teams flip-flopped. Man, I'm getting old. What is wrong with me? Dude, I was just there. I was just there Saturday. Yeah, Michigan. There's so many games. The madness in March is getting to me. Yeah, Michigan, they got knocked out to Purdue. So we sat there and watched that game. And then, of course, the second game was Maryland and Michigan State. So, yeah, anyway, Adam and I, we sat next to each other, and we were just chatting about what we saw and really got to know him a little bit, man. Adam, he's a really good dude, and I'm excited to have him on the airwaves. So Adam will join us on the show to dive into bracketology. He'll talk about Michigan men's basketball because we really didn't get a chance to talk about Michigan getting that play-in game other than when, of course, our dear friend Ray from Indiana called in the show, and he was not happy. Ray was not happy with but when is he ever happy when talking about the Wolverines in any way, shape, form, or capacity, right? Yeah, beat the bullies, right? He calls Michigan the bullies. But, you know, we really didn't get a chance to really dissect Michigan and what they were able to do in the Big Ten tournament. And, you know, earning a play-in game in the NCAA tournament, which is pretty cool. Of course, they will play Tulsa on Wednesday. So Adam will be here to discuss Michigan. He'll also, of course, dive into the Spartans and, the Spartans being a number two seed in the NCAA tourney. He'll break down who his final four teams are. And this is our question for the day. I'm excited to dive into this one as well because, of course, it's a lot of hoopla. A lot of hoopla surrounded around men's college basketball around this time of the year, okay? Many of you are filling out brackets. Many of you are participating in office pools. Many of you are participating in bracket challenges, with your respective friends. But I want to throw this question out there. Do you think the NCAA tourney is overhyped? Is this hoopla too much? Is it justified at all? What do you think? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. 9527. Isaac, we're going to dive into that question. Just a real brief response to that question before, because I want to dive into, we're going to dive into our first round predictions in just a second. But what do you think? Is it overhyped at all?
I'm going to say no. It's fun. It gives us all something to watch from 10 in the morning to midnight. It's just a blast. I remember in high school, I used to turn it on in the cafeteria during lunchtime, take off study hall and some classes too, unfortunately, and watch March Madness. I mean, it's just the best time of the year. I don't think it's overhyped.
Why? Give me a real brief why.
It's entertaining. It's fun, and every team has a chance to win. That's true.
All right. I like that. We'll dive more into that discussion in just a sec. Call in. Do you think the NCAA tourney is overhyped at all? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Now, you know, this is also an interesting time of the year, Isaac, because – you know, every one of us are going to fill out brackets. Simple as that. But what I hate is when, you know, because, you know, we do this for ideally a living here, Isaac. You know, you're studying in college. I get paid to come on this show and give my opinion and also to cover sports for a living. And, you know, it frustrates me so much when, you know, my auntie or my grandmother, she even does a bracket, okay, or my little sister, you know, or my cousin who barely watches college hoops. When they fill out brackets, and at the end of the day, you know, when the championship game comes to fruition and we look back at what took place in their brackets, that their brackets completely trounce mine because I'm so analytical. You know what I mean? I'm breaking that. Okay, you know, Michigan State, you know, they'll end up playing Purdue. I like the Utes. They'll probably end up playing the Utes, but the Utes have great defense. Can Michigan State combat that with how they play back and forth down the court? Whereas my auntie, she doesn't know anything about the X and O's when it comes to any team in college basketball. You could pick based on your favorite mascots. And my little sister has done that and has ended up with a better bracket than myself. So it's frustrating on that aspect as well. And then, you know, after like that first week and you see what upsets happen, you walk into work And you got to hear from everybody about how, oh, man, I had this upset. I didn't have this one. And at the end of the day, I mean, I at the end of the day, I probably do at max five brackets. At the end of the day, you do so many, you just kind of get overloaded with bracketology talk. You know what I mean? Because on one hand, you look like a genius if you nail a few upsets. But then if you the other upsets that you pick that don't come in and pan out, you're like a complete idiot. You know what I mean? You look like genius and an idiot in so many regards. It can become a bit overwhelming. And at the end of the day, do we really care what another person's bracket looks like? Unless it's like perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It makes
I know
it fun,
what you're
though.
Saying.
It makes it fun, but it's like, okay, you know, you had this upset, but look at this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Does it bore you at all after a while?
Well, my own anecdote about that is that 3 years ago, my mom, my lovely mother, Mignon Karen, actually had one of the top 4,000 brackets in the nation.
You got to be kidding
after
me.
After the first round, after the first two days of competition.
Wow.
And I remember my mom filling out her bracket because it was for a work competition. And my brother and I asked her after she got the results from the first two rounds and was so high up in the standings, we asked, Mom, can you name a college basketball player? Admittedly, she could not. And she just picked this based on all sorts of different factors. And the thing is, my brother and I also were advising her throughout it. And what happened was we said, Mom, you do not want to pick this. You do not want to pick Mercer over Duke. Of all the upsets you could pick, that's not going to happen. Come on, Mom.
Right, right. Exactly.
Mercer beat Duke.
Isn't that crazy, though? You know, when you really look at it, I mean, these upsets happen so many times. I mean, it's so hard. It's impossible to nail a perfect bracket, Isaac. So, again, at the end of the day, we will have individuals that will come out. Again, my sister will probably do a bracket that looks way better than mine. But at the end of the day, it's like, do we really care, though? So,
yeah,
I don't
exactly.
know. It's fun, though. It's fun. Call in, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. All right, let's briefly go through this, Isaac. Now, I had the idea, like we do traditionally every year, of going region by region and whittling through the first, second, third, all the way into the final four, our picks. But it would take entirely too long. I remember we did this segment last year. It took up half the show. So I only want to do the first round matchups, okay? I want to know what your bracket looks like region by region. You'll get my thoughts as well on any potential upsets taking place this year as well. I want to start, though. Heck, let's start in the East region. Let's start with UNC being the top seed. Who do you got? Just go through them.
All right, I'm going UNC, Providence over USC. I love Chris Dunn and Bentol. That's a great first two that is as good as any other in the nation. Indiana, UK, Notre Dame, West Virginia over Stephen F. Austin. A lot of people have an upset there.
Yeah, a lot of people do, yeah.
But Wisconsin over Pitt and then Xavier over Weber. So not too many upsets from that bracket for me. I think that one's pretty well set up for a fairly standard first round.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so I think the only thing we differentiated on that was you chose Providence to beat USC, right?
Correct.
I'm going with USC over Providence there.
Okay.
But you know what? I'm struggling, though. When it comes to North Carolina, you know, as the number one seed out in the East, they've been great all year. And I said this. You know, it's never happened.
I was waiting to start laughing. Here's where it happens.
It's never happened in NCAA tournament history where we've had a number one seed go down in the first round. But I do believe it's going to happen here, man.
UNC?
If this is the year it's going to happen, this is the year it's going to happen. All right?
No.
There's so much. It's such an even playing field here. You know, Florida Gulf Coast, you know, the beloved squad known as Dunk City. Remember that whole fiasco back in the day?
Oh, of course.
Love that squad. They shocked the world in 2013. Its first season as a Division I team, actually. Now, the number 15-seeded Eagles, they upset number 2-seed Georgetown and advanced to the Sweet 16. As impressive as that run was, making headway in this year's Dans would really top that. It certainly would. If they can make it past Farley Dickinson in the play-in game, top-seeded North Carolina is waiting. And I think when looking at the other 1 versus, you know, 16 matchups, if it's going to happen, if there's any peek into the doorway, I think it's going to happen here, Isaac.
But you don't have to pick one.
I don't have to. But for fun, it's March Madness, just for kicks and giggles here. I'm going to go with Florida Gulf Coast to win that play-in game and to beat North Carolina.
I agree they'll win the play-in game, but I also agree that your sister's bracket will look much better than yours. I can guarantee you.
But, hey, I think it's going to happen. So you don't think that we'll see a 1-16, 1-16 seed upset at all this year?
We've
never seen it. But,
no.
Again, if it's going to happen, though, Isaac, wouldn't this year be the year?
No.
Because it's so even this year.
No, it wouldn't.
There's no clear-cut teams you can point out and say, okay, if that team don't win at all, there's something wrong. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So just for fun, I'm going with UNC to get upset in the first round.
If I were to pick a 16 seed even, it would be Southern over Oregon.
I like Southern.
Okay. I like Southern. Southern played Georgetown to within 10 points 2 years ago, and Southern's got a lot of scores on that team. And, you know, Oregon, they're just the weakest one seed. They're relatively untested coming from the
Pac-12. Well, I would disagree, though. You know, when it comes to – I saw this rank last night on ESPN Sports Center. Oregon played the third toughest schedule out of anybody in the nation.
That's based on RPI and all of that, though.
Right, exactly.
I don't always put all the stock into those standings. I'm more based off team reputation and things like that.
Okay, let's whittle through this. Let's go Midwest, where State is. Go ahead.
All right, I've got UVA over Hampton, of course. Texas Tech over Butler, who – I love, but Butler's just let me down a few times in the past. Purdue versus Iowa State in the second round. Now I've got Gonzaga upsetting Seton Hall. This is the one that's been really haunting my dreams.
I have that, too. I have that upset as well. I think the Zags will pull that one out against Seton Hall. But go ahead. I think that's going to be a great game, though.
And then here's my big upset of the tournament. I've got Fresno over Utah. I'm not big on Utah. I like Poitel, but everybody else I'm not as big on. And Fresno has played a decent schedule this year. They only lost to Oregon by 5. And if you remember, Utah got destroyed by Oregon by about 30. Mm-hmm. So I actually like that matchup. Then Dayton over Syracuse and Michigan State, of course, advancing against Middle Tennessee.
Okay, so you have Michigan State and Dayton, and I'm going opposite there. I think Michigan State will play Syracuse. I've got Utah coming out of that. I see where you're going there, but I think that's a stretch. I think the Utes are good.
It's an upset.
Yeah.
It is an upset.
Yeah, I'm going with Utah, Gonzaga, Purdue, and I think this is my upset. I think Ionia can beat Iowa State. I like that. I like that a lot. So I have Ionia playing Purdue, then Butler taking on the VA, Virginia. All right, out in the West, who you got?
All right, I've got Oregon still advancing. Like I said, if I were to pick a 16 upset, that's it. But Oregon's going to advance, and I think it'll still be fairly easy for them. Then Cincinnati beating St. Joe's. I've got Yale over Baylor. Baylor is just 5-7 in their last 12.
That's another one that people are picking a lot, Yale to win that one.
The Ivy Leagues give teams problems. They do, because it's such a smart, calculated style of basketball. It really works effectively. Then I've got Duke advancing, Texas over Northern Iowa, although I think that could be a possible upset as well.
I have Northern Iowa winning that one. Yep. So I'm going to get you I'm with you with the Yale. I think Yale can beat Baylor. I'm going with Northern Iowa over Texas there. Proceed.
Okay. I've got A&M and then over Green Bay and then VCU over Oregon State and then Oklahoma, of course, also advancing.
Okay. All right. Did you have Oregon and Cincinnati?
Oregon and Cincinnati, correct.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. I think the only thing we differentiated with on that one was the Northern Iowa and Texas game. So, okay. And last but not least, I'll go first here out in the South. I like Kansas to advance over Austin, PA. And then you have UConn. I got UConn beating Colorado. Maryland. I really like this Maryland team, Isaac. I really do. Even though we saw them in the Big Ten tournament, and, of course, they fell to Michigan State. But talent-wise, and you look at the talent they have on that squad, and they're so big, so athletic. I love Melo Trimble. I think Maryland can really make a deep run in this tournament. Anyway, Maryland, I have them beating South Dakota State. I've got Cal topping Hawaii. I've got Arizona advancing over the winner of Vandy and Wichita State, even though watch out for that one.
Exactly.
out for that one. Well, that's another upset people are calling. Miami over Buffalo. The Hawkeyes, I tell you, man. It's been just a tough stretch of basketball for them to end the season. But I think they rebound here. I think they beat Temple, and I'm going Villanova.
Okay. You and I actually differ fairly significantly here. So I'm going Kansas, of course. I'm going UConn as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Maryland. I don't like Melo Trimble against a defense which kind of is a high-press style and a team that's going to be really jacked up for this game. I think they're called the Jackrabbits, so pun intended. But anyway, South Dakota State also limits turnovers and gets rebounds. Those are the two most important things
size,
for upsets.
Though. Size is the big difference there. Maryland is so big, dude. I mean, you talk about Carter Jr., down
yes.
there. Lehman is big as well. He's a four who can take it inside and out. I just size wise, I don't see Maryland going out against South Dakota State in that first round. I don't know. That's a stretch.
If I'm going to pick an upset though, that's the one. You've got to pick your upsets. That's one of them. I've got Hawaii over Cal. Hawaii's
really?
Looked great this year, and Cal is overseeded. Cal is significantly overseeded. So I've got that. I've got Arizona too, although I was conflicted there because I love Wichita State. I just think that first game might wear them out a little bit.
You're going with a lot of upsets, Isaac. You're going upset heavy.
I always go
in
upset.
This first round. Okay.
And then Temple over Iowa, just because Iowa reminds me of Wake Forest back in 2007, who I picked to win the championship when they reached the number one seed and then declined. I thought they'd reclaim that form. Never did, lost in the first round to Cleveland State. So Iowa will lose in the first round.
Nah,
and then Villanova.
Know. Okay, that's interesting. All right, again, who knows? Again, my little sister's probably going to have a better bracket than both of us. So it's a crapshoot. What do you think, folks? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Got to remind everyone, before we hit this first break and bring on Adam Biggers, of course, of Today U Sports, I want to remind you all that Current Sports TV returns. I've been getting a lot of emails this week, but Current Sports TV returns next week. Of course, we have been preempted due to this being Pledge Month here at WKAR, and we want to give a special thank you to all of our listeners and our viewers out there for your contributions. You make this thing go, I tell you, folks. But we'll be back at it next week, Thursday, 10:30 p.m. on WKAR TV. I'll be sitting down with the assistant coach at Lansing Everett High School for the boys basketball team, Dale Beard. Yeah, and you know Dale. Dale used to play point guard with Irvin Magic Johnson when they balled out together back in the 70s and won a state championship with the Vikings. So if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you know that we tape each and every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Just go to WKAR.org, sign up online for free, and then, hey, just show up. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be inviting for the first time on our airwaves Adam Biggers, assistant managing editor and writer for Today's U Sports. You don't want to miss that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Tuesday. It is March 15th, 2016. Of course, we have plenty of tourney talk throughout this week here on the show. Day in and day out, we'll be diving into the tourney, talking a lot about Michigan State and their run in the tourney. Of course, they play this Friday against Tulsa. That should be a fun one. And they have the Friday-Sunday slate, which Tom Izzo loves because his team gets more rest, more time to prepare. Got to love that, right? And to talk more about the tourney, we invite to our airways for the first time the assistant managing editor at Today's U, covering college football and basketball. And prior to joining the Fan Rag sports team during the summer of 2015, he covered Michigan football and basketball and Michigan State basketball for 3 years as a featured columnist at Bleacher Report. He's also written for the Flint Journal, MLive, Yahoo Sports Network, Maize and Brew, SB Nation, Maize and Blue News, and various other blogs. It is certainly my pleasure to welcome to the show Mr. Adam Biggers. Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Al. Thanks for the great intro.
Like that? That was hot, wasn't it?
That was a good one. That was a good one.
I appreciate that, man. Well, I'll tell you what, Adam. We've seen each other around multiple times throughout this year, but we met officially for the first time out at the Big Ten tournament out in Indy. A great time. And I remember us sitting next to each other watching, you know, those first slate of games on Saturday, I should say. And just kind of just diving into, because we saw Michigan on Saturday, and just diving into that Michigan team and looking at their run in that Big Ten tourney, getting two big wins over Northwestern and against Indiana, the number one seed coming into the Big Ten tourney. Michigan coming out and earning a play-in game. Were you surprised at all that Michigan got that play-in game, and did they do enough throughout this year to earn a shot at the NCAA tourney?
I was a little surprised by a play-in game. I know that a lot of people like to cite the, I think it's 11 double-digit losses by the Wolverines, but I do think that Michigan is a tournament-worthy team. I think getting those two wins, Northwestern, Indiana especially was big. I was talking with Mark Donnell, and he believes that the Wolverines have an extra gear, and I think that they do too. It's really, Michigan is one of those teams, I think, unless you're closely following it, unless you're around there, you don't really know the turmoil that those guys have gone through this year, not having Karras, and then maybe thinking that they were going to get Karras back and being a little hopeful, and you know, that not happening. Zach Ervin with a back surgery. Zach has never been 100% this year. Then you look at Spike Albrecht, who an emotional heart and soul. I love Spike Albrecht. Spike, what he lacks in athletic ability makes up for it 10 times in hustle. You know, I'm gonna miss covering those Michigan teams with Spike. He a joy to talk to, joy to watch. You don't have a guy like that who is, you know, a huge locker room guy. It's difficult. You know, Spike was there, Karras was there, but if you don't have him on the floor, it's difficult. And mm-hmm. and you look at Derek Walton had a little bit. He had a toe and ankle issues earlier this year too. And I know a lot of teams get injured, and I'm not making excuses for Michigan, but I do think that Michigan belongs in this tournament. I do think that the win over Northwestern, the win over Indiana was really what I needed to see, and that would get them in.
And I think that's a direct testament to the coaching prowess of John Beilein, because there aren't many coaches in this nation, Adam, that can go through the amount of ups and downs that this team had this year and still get their team to make it, even if it's just a play-in game. I mean, even just to make the tournament, there aren't many coaches that can do what John Beilein has done. What makes him such a good coach, Adam?
If you look at John Beilein's body of work, he's a guy who is very even keeled. Mm-hmm. I think I was joking with someone down in Indianapolis, and John got fired up a little bit, and I said, "Hey, that's the way that Tom Izzo tells people thank you or says hello." You know, drastically different coaching styles. John is a guy who I think that, you know, the players respect him first and foremost, and you know, I think that's pretty clear. The media respects him too. John treats everyone very well.
He does.
I think that there's just something about his style and the kids that he recruits. They want to play for him. And I think that's really, that's, you know, it's kind of cliche to say. And of course, you know, every team in the tournament, everybody's on the same page. We got guys who all want the same thing. And, you know, we've heard all the chatter. But what John Beilein does, I think, better than a lot of other teams is John, or a lot of other coaches rather, is John kind of knows when to tighten up a little bit and when to pull back. And Tom Izzo does that very well too. But I think what John has done this year, tightened up at the right moments, pulled back a little bit when needed. And I think he pulled back, let his guys play against Indiana, and we saw what happened with that. They got a huge win over the Hoosiers.
Adam Biggers of today's U Sports Now. Now, Adam, you know, they won two straight in the Big Ten tournament, again, Northwestern and Indy. Did you see anything that was different in this team going into the Big Ten tournament that you didn't see consistently, at least throughout the regular season for Michigan, that allowed them to get those two wins and to put them in the tournament?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, I think if you look at two guys in particular, and they didn't have blow you away games statistically, but they did enough to where you think, okay, they're going to be useful. And I think everybody knew that. But you look at Moritz Wagner, he's from Germany. I like his game. Needs to toughen up a little bit. You know, he is a freshman. Very young freshman too. I believe he came at only 17 years old. Mm-hmm. Mo had a decent showing. You know, I think he's still getting his bearings a little bit. And then I think Cam Chapman, huge confidence builder for Cam. I think he had hit like 6 3-pointers all year.
Exactly.
He had two or three in the Big Ten tournament. At that point, I think that you're looking for signs of growth. You want to see what can this guy do that maybe he didn't do during the regular season. And I've been critical, very much critical of Cam Chapman, because I didn't feel as if he was even playing anywhere near his potential. And mm-hmm. I think now you get him a shot like that, you build a little bit of confidence. Cam and Moritz Wagner, not saying they're going to blow teams away and be mega stars during this tournament for the Wolverines, but I do think that Michigan now knows that it can get a little bit from a couple other guys rather than just, you know, the standard. You know, if it wasn't Derek Walton and Zach Ervin and Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman or Mar.
Love that name, right?
Let's just call him
Mar. Yeah, Mar, right.
or Aubrey Dawkins. If it wasn't one of those guys getting it, they didn't really have much. But, I mean, I think if you're a Wolverines fan, you know, you were happy to at least see Cam Chapman come out a little bit. Mo, I'd have to look at the stats. He had like seven or eight points against Northwestern. But it was the rebounding. It was the toughness. It was the ability to stay on the floor. Mo Wagner could not stay on the floor for a long time this year because he got into foul trouble, and that's what led to a lot of minutes for Mark Donnell. So I do think that there is a little bit. And then what really struck me, Derek Walton's defense.
He's improved drastically.
If he can find the basket during this tournament and continue with that defense, I mean, Michigan has a legitimate, you know, star point guard with Derek. I really like his game. I love the way that he plays defense. It's got to sharpen up offensively.
Certainly. And, folks, if you're hearing some buzzing through our microphones, just letting you know, we are undergoing construction here at WKR Radio. We are actually getting a new green room. So if you hear some weird noises in the background, that's what's going on, all right? Again, folks, we are talking with Adam Biggers of Today's U Sports. Now, Adam, when looking at the bracket now for Michigan, where they're slated, of course, we're talking about the East region here. They will play Tulsa on Wednesday. If they get that win, they will take on Notre Dame. How far do you think this team can get?
And, you know, looking at the bracket, and I just wrote about this last night, actually. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame is beatable.
Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit. What chinks in the armor do you see for the Fighting Irish?
I don't know if it's necessarily the weaknesses in Notre Dame that I see.
Okay.
It's the fire in Michigan that I see. And Michigan is a team. Let's get this clear right now. Michigan has already proven throughout the course of the regular season it can really hang with anybody. I mean, yeah, I mentioned before the 11, 10-point losses. But, I mean, you beat Indiana. They got a win over Purdue. Beat Maryland, too, this year. I don't know if it's necessarily so much that Notre Dame is vulnerable. It's that I think it's Michigan is more so unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when I don't even know anything about Tulsa. Do you know anything about that team? I mean, when breaking that matchup down, do you think Michigan comes out with that win?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Why so?
Again, if we're looking at two teams, Tulsa and Michigan, both in a similar position, playing games, both with similar resumes, but not really. Okay, mm-hmm. Michigan's very much battle tested, and
they play in the Big Ten for goodness' sake. Right.
And I'm not, you know, it's not a disrespect to Tulsa, but I don't think this game is really going to be much of an issue for the Wolverines at all. And then we look at, you know, another potential matchup. I think they have a good West Virginia is not invincible either. So I mean, Sweet 16 I think is a ceiling for Michigan given the circumstances.
Now you mentioned Caris LeVert, Adam. And, you know, I had made the statement, and we talked about this on the show a few weeks ago, actually, that before Caris came out and it was officially announced that he would not return to this squad, I had already said that it just seemed to me that Caris had already switched his mindset to making sure that he was healthy enough to try out for different teams in the NBA. It seemed to me that he was already looking at the NBA. Am I jumping the gun here and making that statement? And what do you think is going through his mind, seeing how the Wolverines, in lieu of his absence, were still able to make this run, really storied run, to possibly have a shot at the tourney?
You know, it's kind of I'm looking for the word that I want to use.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think that Caris was looking ahead, but I think that there came a point where he realized, okay, it is not happening. People, you know, past few years covering Michigan basketball, you get to know Caris. Caris is a competitor. He's quiet, you know, in person. He's got a loud game on the court, quiet in person, very, very reserved, respectable, yes sir, no sir, soft-spoken kind of guy. And,
right.
You know, that was always something I wanted to see him do more. Like, I want to see the animal in you, Caris. I want to see you get a little bit more aggressive. I mean, he did that on the court. I don't know if it's completely fair to say that he was looking ahead, but I do think that I'll put it this way. When they announced that he was going to be out and then it was about 2-3 weeks in, I started getting the inclination, I don't think we're going to see Caris in a Michigan uniform again. And then they, you know, John Beilein afterward had said that he expected, you know, maybe 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And this was already at like the 8 or 9 week period. And then they hold a press conference saying Karras was going to come back, if you remember
that. I remember that.
And that was, and I was like, well, wow, that just blew my whole narrative because, you know, thanks a lot, Karras, for playing those 11 minutes because you really just crushed everything that I thought I knew, but then he doesn't play again. So they'd be a different team with Karras. I don't think there's any argument about that.
He's such a great talent. And then before he got injured, Adam, I mean, he was arguably the best player in the Big Ten. He was that good. He could score. He had a great first step, a great jump shot. What do you think about his draft stock in the NBA? Do you think he's a first rounder?
No.
He's not a first rounder.
No.
Why?
I mean, tell me a meaningful game he's played in the past 2 years.
Right. So more so when it comes to big games, producing on big stages, that hurts him.
Talent-wise, yeah.
Right.
Resume-wise, I mean, what do they want to see coming in the draft? What do scouts and teams want to see? What have you done lately? What has Karras done lately?
Exactly. Very true.
That's the way I look at it. But Karras wanted to play. I know that he did. I know that he's close with his mother and his family, and they were weighing those options. And it was, I can't speak for Karras LeVert, but I could say that I have to believe that he did the best thing for him. And at the end of the day, I mean, what is it about? Yeah, if you're a Michigan fan or a college basketball fan, yeah, you want to see the good players go out there. Karras would have been great if he would have been healthy these past 2 years, no doubt in my mind. Yeah, you want to see them go out and perform. But at the end of the day, what's the real goal? The real goal is for them to go to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Karras did. He walked that line as well as he could, and he, you know, determined, hey, playing more college ball is probably not going to help me achieve my next step, or you know what I mean by that.
Exactly.
I mean, you do. You wanted to see him play, but when you're injured, don't run the risk. Yeah,
exactly. Especially if you're teetering that line where you're injured and you come back healthy, quote unquote, and then you get injured again. I mean, it's like, okay, how many times can I do this before I'm in risk of seriously getting hurt and possibly hurting my chances of playing, just playing, period, let alone at the next level in the NBA. I certainly agree with you there, Adam. All right, let's talk really brief before we get you out of here, Adam. Let's talk Michigan State. Just going through the mindset of when it was announced that Michigan State would be a number two seed, what do you think was going through the committee's head when evaluating Michigan State?
I don't know.
Right? That's the golden question here. Why is Michigan State a two seed?
Can we give them a call?
Can you get the Lanny on the line, all right? Get him on the show because it just blows my mind.
But I do think if you're Michigan State, you take that number one seed snub, if that's what you want to call it. You take the two in Chicago.
Right.
I think the two seed, a Friday game, and the potential to play in Chicago, I think that kind of makes up for it.
Blessing in disguise, Nick.
Possibly.
Without a doubt. All right. Now, what do you think this team proved then? Winning the Big Ten championship and still – Big Ten tourney championship and still being just a number two seed – what did they get out of this weekend?
Well, I don't think there's anybody in the country who can't say that Michigan State is not a national championship caliber team. If you and he mentioned the RPI, maybe he doesn't put a whole lot of stock in that, but I do think if you look at Maryland and Purdue, those are top 15 RPI teams.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at just Michigan State's body of work, you know, throughout the regular season, and let's not forget neutral site win over the number one overall seed in
Kansas.
The tournament, Kansas.
Right.
But to just focus on the tournament, I mean, is Michigan State going to run into anything more difficult than what it already faced in the tournament? I'm really looking forward to a potential Elite Eight matchup between Michigan State and Purdue. I want to see that as well. I think it's coming. I think it's coming. There's no doubt in my mind, Al, Michigan State is deep enough. It's talented enough, of course, it has the coaching. You feel certain buzzes around certain teams.
Mm-hmm.
This team has that buzz. I do think I have the Spartans as a Final Four team. I have Michigan State winning it all.
You do have them winning it all. We'll get to your other three Final Four teams in just a sec. But out of the seven teams from the Big Ten that made the NCAA tourney, other than Michigan State, who do you think can make a deep run? Let's say Elite Eight. Who can get there?
I think Maryland might meet Kansas Sweet 16. That might be. Because you mentioned a player earlier that I really like, and I thought that he was fantastic you know, down in Indy, Robert Carter Jr.
He was great.
Yeah.
I mean, he can shoot the ball. So that's big. One thing that stood out to me. I mean, his shot is so pure. And for him to be that size, I like him a lot.
Super athletic and around the rim, too. I mean, he's a guy, we hear coaches, he could do a lot of things. Well, this guy can do a lot of things.
He can, yeah. Diamond Stone is also with that team as well. He's been kind of hit or miss, but he's a great young talent as well. Melo Trimble, I mean, Rashid Suleiman.
Jake Layman,
you know, exactly.
Jake's got some size. Jake can bang a little bit. I mean, he's not the most physical guy, but he does have some touch around the rim, and he gives you options. He gives you some length down low as well. I like Wisconsin. I don't know why. I have a thing about Wisconsin. I was really disappointed to see Nebraska beat them in the Big Ten tournament because I thought we might get Wisconsin, Nebraska, but I think Wisconsin is prime too. So,
okay.
I mean, there's a couple teams in the bit. Indiana. I think Indiana's a Final Four team.
All right. So what's your Final Four look like, real quickly, Adam?
Okay.
You got Michigan State. You already said that.
I got Michigan State. I got Indiana. I hate to go with, you know, like the high seeds, but I'm going to go Michigan State, Indiana, Kansas. And in that East bracket is where I'm kind of torn right now. So
okay.
For the sake of making a pick, I'm going to go Kentucky, actually, because
I like Kentucky
or Providence. I really like those two teams. So I haven't fully, and who knows, you know, keep this on the back burner because between now and when we have to lock up the brackets, we don't know who could get injured, knock on wood. So
that's true. That is true.
Based on current rosters, yes. So I'll take Michigan State, Indiana, Kansas, and then either Kentucky or Providence.
Okay. Adam Biggers, assistant managing editor at Today's U Sports, of course, covering college football and basketball. And our question of the day, Adam, of course, it is March Madness, the hoopla that is March Madness. Everyone's filling out brackets. Everybody's doing office pools. Everybody's betting. Is the NCAA tourney overrated? What's your thoughts on that?
No.
Not at all.
Not
That's
at
a
all.
No-brainer.
Not at all. This is the most, this is the least, if, especially if you have an office job. I have a lot of friends who are, this is the least productive time of the year.
So
I think,
true.
I think they've done studies on it. So have fun, fill out the bracket. You know, you're going to rip out your hair because you're going to be wrong all the time. I like to think that I know what I'm talking about. And, you know, who knows? He joked about your sister having a better bracket.
Yeah.
I think a couple
every year.
My nephew actually. Each year, he's starting to get a little bit closer. So I'm getting in that territory. Love March Madness, man. I love it.
I love it as well. We're on the coordinates there. And the two-hour selection show did. And Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith, you know, they're NBA guys. Just listening to them, I'm just like, what? Do they really know what they're talking
about?
They're funny, though. They're entertaining.
I just looked at the leak bracket. I didn't even watch
it. I'm telling you, man. And Izzo's reaction to the leak bracket was priceless. All right. Well, Adam, how can people read your work, my man?
If you're on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Today's U.com, and we are on Twitter as well at Today's U Sports.
Adam Biggers, he does one fantastic job. Adam, my man, I'll be seeing you throughout this entire month, I'm sure.
Most definitely. Thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, not a problem at all. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's current sports, hitting you with Tickle Tuesday, and also Brandon Dawson arrested over the weekend. Yeah. Don't miss that and more. You are listening to Current Sports. Nest Beats. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, wow, time flies when you're having fun. Just 5 minutes left here in the show. And we love to close out each and every Tuesday here on the show with a new segment debuted a little over 2 weeks ago that we entitled Tickle Tuesday, where we know how the beginning of the week can be, okay? You know, the beginning of the work week can be a grind, meetings and you know, you feel so far away from the weekend, all right? So to break up that monotony, we decide to go around the sports world and hit you with some of the funniest stories in the past week. We dub it Tickle Tuesday. Here we go.
Gentlemen, in exactly 5 days, we will be $100 billion richer.
Oh, boy, that's got to be my favorite intro that we have throughout the week. Got to love that. Shout out to Austin Powers, man. All right. Well, we'll get this, Isaac. So you're a big Kanye guy, right? Kanye West?
Oh, yeah. This was going to be mine.
Get out of here. Oh, no. Yeah. About the mascot?
The Clippers condor?
Yeah. Okay. Well, for folks that don't know, Kanye West is one step closer to redesigning your horrendous mascot of the L.A. Clippers in the NBA. The Clippers introduced Chuck the Condor last month, and almost everyone loathed the thing. Pretty ugly. You know, and not to take a shot at the NO, okay, New Orleans, but when that Pelicans mascot came out, Isaac, oh my, who designed that thing?
Oh, it was great.
What in the world?
Do you guys have that? It haunted your dreams.
Yeah, it did. But anyway, Chuck the Condor debuted last month, and, you know, Steve Ballmer, who is, of course, the owner of the L.A. Clippers, he was paying attention to Kanye West because Kanye, I guess, weighed in on this.
Yes,
and he tweeted back at Kanye and said that he's open to discussing with Kanye about the redesigning of its mascot. How cool is that?
I'm not big on Kanye's fashion sense, if we're being honest. The Yeezys,
I'm not 350
for those. Right. Come on now.
Right. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, Kanye's wardrobe. I mean, have you seen his line of clothing? It's like, oh my gosh. I wouldn't be rocking that, man. But interesting, though. Kanye, he's always trying to, he's fashion savvy, I guess, quote unquote. All right. Also, get this. Former NFL running back Amon Green has been cut again. Yeah. This time is from the upcoming Batman versus Superman blockbuster. But don't fear, you could see him possibly on the Packers big screen because he may be a Green Bay Packer this upcoming year. Green was supposed to be, quote, thug number two a few months ago, but he was recently let know by the producers of Batman versus Superman that they decided to cut his part. That's gotta hurt, man.
That's cold.
Yeah, that's cold, isn't it?
He's a 39-year-old man. Now he's gotta go back to playing football for a team that doesn't even run the ball.
Yeah, and making millions, though. You gotta feel
poor
bad for
man.
Him. Man, I feel terrible for him. All right, well, I only had two. You got any, Isaac? Oh, I stole your Kanye.
Yeah, mine was Kanye. Mine was Steve Ballmer and Kanye. But yeah, I loved Kanye's tweet back at him. %1,000, Steve Ballmer. Let's meet this week if you have time. I was hanging with Chris Paul last night. That was Kanye's tweet. I don't totally get the message.
Oh, boy. I tell you. Mr. West. All right. Well, I tell you what. Less than a minute left here in the show. We are, unfortunately, out of time. We wanted to talk about Brandon Dawson and the situation he's currently going through. We will lead our show with that discussion tomorrow. But thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Much thanks to Adam Biggers of Today's U Sports and all of you out there for tuning in today. Have a great afternoon, and as always, hey, be easy, people.